We're off to a great start, Cheryl. It's going great.
I do have senioritis. Oh my goodness. I'm like, no more quizzes for me. What did I miss?
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm a science teacher.
I'm Cheryl, and I slept through science.
Each episode, we'll tackle a science question you may have learned in school, but can't quite remember or fully explain.
And I'll take the risk of asking the dumb questions so that we can all understand the science we slept through.
The bell has rung. Let's get started. Welcome to lesson 87. We are starting a new unit on what is science, and this is going to be our last unit of the podcast.
Man! Boo! But also, that might mean I have no more quizzes, so I feel like that's the good part of that.
Yes, yes, that's the good part for you. Cheryl, why is this going to be our last unit?
Well, Ryan, we have been doing this podcast, truly as a labor of love. as volunteers.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it's been really fun. But just some other like life commitment things have made it. So I have too many commitments right now. I need to scale back, practice some more self-care. So I'm going to be dropping out of school and just focusing on myself.
I was thinking maybe more that you would graduate, but okay, if you want to drop out.
Graduation would be great, actually. We
can let's just have you graduate. How about that?
Okay, great. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm going to graduate this remedial science class. If I get through the end of this last unit.
If you get through the end of this last unit, yeah. And so we talked about what we would want to do as a last unit. And we thought about, how about we just sort of do an overview of science itself? What even is science? So each lesson, we'll dive into one branch of science and sort of talk about what it is, what it studies, what it isn't. And of course, as per usual, Cheryl, we'll look at what you do and don't already know.
Yes. And so in hindsight, we realized that this really would have been a good first unit of this
podcast. It would have been, yeah.
So I think we're going to be calling this our prequel. Or like, if you want to listen through in like chronological order, then you'd start with this unit and then go back through the other units. But it happens to be released at the end of it, I guess.
And also recorded at the end.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yep. It's totally fine. For this first one, Cheryl, I think we should just start fairly broadly instead of diving into a specific science. Let's just talk about science in general and what is science. And let's get into the pre-assessment. Based on what you know, what is science?
I think that science, well, it's going to be the study of, and we're going to, although that's what the ologies are. I feel like ology means the study of, but I think in the broader term of science, you could also say study of. Everything, like the world around us. I mean, because even if you, I was going to say like, oh, it's not really everything because they're not like, but then it's like, well, then like psychology is. Is that a science or no? Depends on if those like other ones are considered a science or not. The study of everything physical, maybe, is all science physical? Other than
what do you mean by physical?
Science? Like anything that is a physical thing. So like, but it's a study of, and I'm trying to think about like what's not science, because we've talked about before, like art is not science, or astrology is not science. Or so there are these things that exist that are not science.
Mm-hmm.
So does science have to be like the scientific, is it process? Is that what it's called? What's the word? The scientific something, method. Does science have to have the scientific method? Is that part of what makes other things not science?
What is the scientific method, Cheryl?
Like the theory, hypothesis, and then they like test things and have a control and then have a, wait, maybe you end with theory. I think theories after you're like, this is like pretty much fact, but we're scientists, so we're not going to call it a fact. I think it starts with hypothesis and ends with a conclusion. Yeah. I feel like I could describe what is science in a lot of ways, and it would be harder for me to say, well, then what makes something else not science? Mm. But yeah, I think it's the study of a lot of physical things. All the physical things.
All the physical things.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a science for any physical thing, right?
Okay.
You study the brain. You could study little tiny microscopic things. You could study space. You could study creatures. You could study rocks. Like, there's all these different physical things. And I don't know if there's anything physical that wouldn't be like a science. And under some of the categories.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my thoughts right now, unless you have more questions for me.
I have one final question, which okay. is, what would be an example of something that is not physical?
Like our thoughts.
Okay.
Or like, I don't know, like spirituality. There's a lot that's not physical. But then I'd say like, well, that's like where we differ between like science and other things. Like even when we're talking about astrology, for example, is like, those are beliefs that you can't back with physical evidence, but somebody could still like have that belief system. So I'd say like probably a lot of other spiritual beliefs. Yeah. Which are also thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
As per usual, Cheryl, there's a lot that you already know that is in line. And I think there's also some additional information that I can offer that might lend some clarity to your understanding of what is science and what isn't.
Cool. I'm excited.
Yeah. Science, yes, is in general is a study. And like you talked about the ologies or the logies, that's the suffix that means study of. And so science obviously doesn't have that. It's not science-ology. Sciology? I don't know. It's none of those. But science is really a systematic process of knowing things. You talked a little bit about the scientific method, right? And it usually comes with, the scientific method is great and terrible because it implies that there is a linear way that science is done, which is very much not true. But it's way easier to teach in school, especially in elementary or middle school, a process that goes in order, because that's just clearer, especially for people who are still developing ideas like abstract thought. But yes, it generally starts with a question, then there's some sort of hypothesis, then you run an experiment or a test. You collect data, you analyze the data, you draw conclusions, you go back to your hypothesis and revisit that hypothesis and repeat the process. That's generally the way it works. However, when you're actually doing science, there's a lot of back and forth and iteration where you have a hypothesis and you start with the experiment and then it doesn't go the way you want. So you go back to the drawing board before even like drawing any conclusions and making decisions and back and forth and looking at research and what other people have done and all of those pieces that make it a whole lot messier. One of the things that I was thinking about, sometimes people talk about if something is more art or science.
Yeah.
And as if that those two things are, you know, the kind of the two camps. And while there are definitely some clear differences between art and science, they approach the world very differently. I don't feel like that's a fair way of looking at things, that either it's an art or a science. I think things can have elements of both. There's a lot of creativity in science, and there can be a lot of technicality in art. And I think there's things that might not fall into either of those camps as well. So just my own little.
That's a really good point, because like one of the things I've heard and totally agree with is baking is an art, cooking. Nope.
Other way around.
baking is a science, cooking is an art. And that's part of why there's times when I enjoy cooking a lot more, because I don't want to be exact. I don't love measuring, you know, like I want to choose my own amount of time that this thing cooks for. However, you're right. There's a ton of science in cooking. Like the things I'm doing are actually science. It's just not a science that needs exactness in order for it to be successful.
Yes. Though I would argue that under most circumstances, you're not doing science, though science can explain what you're doing.
Mm.
Because the science is the process or the explanation of the whys for why something happens, how or why something happens. That's why I like science so much. I like to understand the reasons and what causes things to happen. But you can do something and not know the why and not know the reason and not think about the reason. And the thing still happens.
Mm.
And you can sometimes do elements of science in a less formal way when you, and I'm going to use a scientific term, but isolate variables. When something's not working, especially with technology, and you want to try and figure it out, it's generally a better approach. Instead of trying all of the things all at once, try one thing at a time and see which thing fixes the issue. That is an approach that science uses. But I don't know that I would say you are doing science when you are going through that process.
Interesting.
You know, it's a scientific type of thinking, though.
Interesting. Okay, I can see how that's a really good distinguisher. Too. Yeah.
You also talked about science having to do with things that are physical and only things that are physical. And I pushed a little bit around, what do you mean by physical? And the reason I was asking is because things like light or energy, some people would describe as physical and some people would not.
So before this podcast, I would like one thing that even popped in my mind was like radio waves. I was like, would have previously said, oh, those are non-physical things. But I think because of this podcast now, I would describe those things as physical.
Yeah. They definitely fall into the realm of science, obviously.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that scientists sort of represent that is that we try and describe the natural world.
I've heard that said before. Yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that natural versus artificial, right? So anything man-made we don't look at, like that's not what that means. Anything synthetic, because that often comes from science. Science helps perpetuate some of those things like technology and things like that. But the idea of things that we can actually measure in some way, and as a scientist, I look at the world as being made of matter and energy. Everything's matter or energy or some combination thereof. If you want to get really, really fancy, it's technically all energy. But if I say that and the wrong person hears that, they misinterpret that and go all metaphysical and spiritual, which is not what the science means when it says that. Not to mean that the spiritual is automatically wrong necessarily, but that's definitely outside of science. And that's sort of the next piece for what you talked about, which is what things are not science. And art as a discipline is definitely not science. Like science cannot tell you whether you like a color or not. Scientifically, you should like this color. No, we can read brain waves about how you react when you observe a color. We can look at patterns of what people find beautiful and not. And we can look at combinations of colors and patterns that people tend to prefer over others. And you'd mentioned psychology. You can go into some psychology around that as well. So there's definitely things that you can do related to art, but art itself, the creation process, is not science. Doing the painting, doing the sculpture, creating the music, even though, again, there is a lot of connection with science, does not make it as a discipline science. It looks at the world through a different lens. And that is something that I think is important for people to recognize. Science is one way of observing the world and drawing conclusions about it, but it's not the only way. And it's not necessarily the only right way. There are people who believe that, but there's also people who believe that there are multiple ways of looking at the world. Mm-hmm. I happen to be biased and think that science is an incredibly valuable and useful way of looking at the world. Whether you just take that or you take that in combination with other things, I think we are in a much better place today because of that lens and that process than we were without it. And I think history can bear that out in a lot of ways. For example, we're not bloodletting anymore as a medical treatment. We are washing hands.
Yep.
Treating disease.
Yeah. Ever since 2020, people learned the value of washing hands.
Yep. Yep. Couple other things about science that are important. In order for it to be science, it needs to be testable. You need to be able to run a test. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean an experiment. It could also be an observation. Astronomy is an example where we can't often run a traditional experiment. What we have to do is describe how we think something works and then go out and observe to see, can we observe what we would expect to observe? But that's still sort of a test, a way of testing things. If you make a claim and it's not testable, then it's not really a scientific claim. That's something that conspiracies and pseudoscience often does, where they say that, well, you just, it's, and I'm just going to fill in the blank here, it's a spiritual thing, you can't test it. Okay, it might legitimately be a spiritual thing, but now it's outside of the realm of science. That it's not a scientific claim because science can't test that. To talk about whether it's there or not, which leads to another component, which is it needs to be falsifiable. We need to be able to have a way to show that it is false, that it is not true. Now, it doesn't mean it needs to be false. That would defeat the purpose. But it needs to be able to be falsified if such data were to present itself. This is where a lot of conspiracy theories fall short as well. And I think we talked about this in one of our earlier lessons, where we talked about you can invoke the conspiracy to explain away any other explanation that might give you a reason why something is or isn't a particular way. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. No, it totally does. Because I think what you're saying then is that with true science, not a conspiracy theory, if somebody says, well, what about this? And they have some like exception to something that like science has proven or whatever, then I think science would look at that and like do new experiments, right? Or be like, let's test that. Does it still fit here or does it not? Does this prove this wrong? Or like, is it just like a new element of it we didn't know? Or things like that? Or is this categorized differently and that's why it's different?
Yep.
Right?
Yep, exactly. An example that I don't remember if I've used on the podcast or not, but that I use in my classroom often is science always has to be open to new information. And it's a good thing that we're open to new data. For example, if we didn't, we would still think that the Earth was the center of the universe. Because we had evidence, we had observations that supported that perspective. We aren't moving. I don't feel like I'm moving right now. Do you feel like you're moving right now? No, we see things spinning around us. The sun and the moon, they go around us. Everything seems to go around us. That is a completely reasonable conclusion based on those observations. However, as we started to make more observation and observe more things, we learned that there is another way of explaining those exact same observations and one that actually does a better job of explaining other things as well and has a better job of explaining the universe that we observe. And so we're open to those pieces, but you have to have that evidence has to be reliable so that science can revise the ideas. And so sometimes people say, well, scientists are rigid and they're unwilling to, you know, give up an idea. And there's an element of that because there's a huge body of evidence behind something. You're not just going to throw it all out just because. You've got to have, if something really, really compelling to get rid of all of the other evidence that's been collected over, in a lot of ways, hundreds of years, depending on what the idea is. So,
yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, in general, sort of what science is, and things that aren't science. Like we said, art isn't science. Things that are pseudoscience obviously aren't science. Things like spiritual stuff, like you talked about, those things aren't within the realm of science. I would also argue, and now this is just me speaking, as a general rule of thumb, and there are definitely exceptions to this, if something in the name of that discipline has the word science in it, it's probably not actually a science.
Oh my gosh, I need an example.
Well, you said computer science earlier. Computer science is not a science.
I was thinking computer science is not a science. But like, yep. Well, and it's funny, actually. I have a sister who is an architect.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a brother-in-law who, shoot, I don't remember his full job title. I don't even know if this is his job title anymore. His job title had the word architect in it. But he works in computers. And so, of course, he gives my sister a very hard time that he is also an architect. But it's like, no.
And he is in the use of that word in that discipline, but not within the discipline of architecture. Same thing for science. There's a whole area called social sciences.
Yeah.
Those are, I would say, science adjacent. Sometimes they're called the soft sciences versus the hard sciences. And psychology, I would say, is in this gray area, because there are some elements of psychology that I think definitely fall in like neuroscience and psychology overlap a lot. And psychology as a discipline uses a lot of the scientific method. But anytime you're involving human behavior, it's really hard to really control for variables. It's a lot harder to do that. So it's, you will hear people say both. You will hear some people say that, yes, it is a science. You will hear other people that say, no, it's not. I don't particularly want to take a strong side one way or the other, because I think there are reasonable arguments both ways, but it is not a science in the exact same way as, say, biology is a science. There is a lot, like I said, a lot of overlap, and there are people in psychology who are doing science. Like, that is definitely a thing that is happening. But I don't think all people who are in the field of psychology are doing science.
Okay.
If that distinction makes sense. Yeah. So, and if you're a psychologist and you strongly disagree with me, that's okay. You're allowed to do that. I'm not a psychologist, so I can't speak with huge authority on your discipline, but I definitely think there are elements of it that are less scientific.
That's fair. Yeah.
And with that, it is time for your science quiz, first quiz of the unit. Aren't you excited?
Well, I'm excited that this is my final unit I'll have quizzes for, but I might be getting some senioritis and like kind of phone it in. We'll find out. So.
Oh, don't worry, Cheryl. I can send you quizzes even after we're done.
Oh, no, that's not what the fear was, Ryan.
First question, what is the scientific method?
Can I use the word in the definition?
You can try.
As long as it's enough. It is a method that scientists use that is not linear, that it's a way of approaching things and looking at things to find out, like, if there's evidence behind it and if it's consistent, and helps scientists develop their knowledge about areas and be able to keep moving forward with things. I don't know. I'm starting to ramble a little bit. Uh-huh. Do you feel like that covered it enough, or is there something you're looking for that's missing?
What are the components of the scientific method?
Well, it was not covered in the lesson. So we'll find out if I got enough right in the pre-assessment. It was. You actually said them in order.
I did.
Yeah. You did. Oh, that's right. You did. Oh, dang it. Okay. Hypothesis.
Okay.
Experiment / observation.
Okay. Yeah, you're wanting kudos for that. Nice job.
And then the conclusion.
Okay.
Apparently I zoned out when you said it because I'm just remembering the parts that I said during the pre-assessment.
Uh-huh.
You need a control.
Again, that's what you said.
Oh, yep. Isolate the variables.
I did say that, but not as part of that.
Oh, no, right?
We're off to a great start, Cheryl. It's going great.
I do have senioritis. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, no more quizzes for me. What did I miss?
A question. Usually we start with experimental question and that leads to the hypothesis. Those two are related. Yes, you run an experiment or you test, make observations, you analyze the data.
Ooh, okay.
Then you draw conclusions and then you cycle back around and revisit the hypothesis.
Got it. I almost said thesis as well, but that's English class.
It is, but actually the word hypothesis, if you break it down, hypo means underneath or less than thesis. So it's less than a thesis. And in English, a thesis statement is the claim that you're making on the paper. So a hypothesis is less than a claim. We're not actually making a claim. It's a hypothesis.
Mm, that's so cool. So I love that.
It's related.
So English is superior to science.
That is not what I said. Nope. False. Next question. Science studies the physical or natural world. According to science, everything in the natural world is composed of what two things?
Matter and energy.
There you go.
Yeah, I did listen.
You did listen.
There was just a moment where my brain was like, you already know this.
Apparently. Yeah. Or maybe I was talking for too long and you zoned out. Next question. What are characteristics something needs to have in order to be a science?
It needs to be measurable.
Okay.
Characteristics something needs to have to be a science. You have to be able to support your claim. Is that a thing you said?
Yes, but that's not really what we talked about.
What are you looking for? I don't want you to tell me the answer. I want to know what you're looking for.
Well, I gave two. I'm looking for the right answer. I talked about two things specifically that science needs. One of the things I talked about, we brought up conspiracy theories.
It needs to be able to be wrong.
Yes. Falsifiable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. There we go.
Mm-hmm. And then the word that I used for the other one was testable, but measurable, I think is similar.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got there.
Got there. We're getting close. Last question of our quiz. Explain something that is not a science. Pick something that's not a science and explain how you know it's not a science.
Okay, I'm going to choose something that I love.
Okay.
The Enneagram.
Okay.
The Enneagram is great and it's such a great tool and it has changed my life and my relationships and it's wonderful and it's not a science. And
what is it in case people don't know what the Enneagram is?
It is kind of like a personality thing where like there's like nine types and you figure out which one you are, what you're motivated by.
Cheryl, you're such a seven.
But I am. There was not one moment where I doubted which one I was. The nine types are numbers, and they have like a number that they like. So there's like one that like somebody is most relates to, and you can read about like, what are they motivated by? What's their biggest fear? You know, all these different things. And then there's like other numbers that they can appear like in different situations. There's a ton of learning you can do about it. And there's a lot of ways that is a really, really helpful tool. It's helped me in my communication and my ability to empathize and understand with others really well too. And it is not a science, Ryan, even though
it's a helpful tool.
Well, there honestly are probably a lot of times where somebody is a number, and then not every statement about that number will be true for them.
Okay.
So it's different than like this type of tree frog. This is how they lay their eggs, and this is what color they are, and this is what, you know what I mean? Like these things that you can be like, yep, that's what they do. Is like, Ryan, you as a one have said like, but I don't relate to that part of it, because we're all still individuals and you can't actually classify people into nine different boxes. And so there will be so many times where like it will be proven false in different ways. And it doesn't mean the whole thing is false, but it does mean that it's not science. Like, and so like scientifically it's all false, but, or it couldn't even be proven in the first place. So it couldn't even be, anyway, if you tried to back it up with science and actually say like, okay, 100% of people in this one will always do these things, like that just won't be the case. And then I know it's been studied a lot, and there's all these people who study it and study the people and everything, but I also don't think anybody who are like Enneagram experts are going to go changing things based on new data, you know what I mean? Like maybe, right. But I doubt it. I think it's already been developed.
I also would wonder, when you say it's been studied, has it been studied in a scientific manner, or has it been studied in an anecdotal manner?
I think probably more the anecdotal. I think it probably depends on the person. I'm guessing there are individuals who study it more in a scientific way and take their knowledge of the Enneagram and look at those people who are those types and try to learn more based on like patterns or behaviors, but that's still not totally scientific.
That's not
right?
Science. No, yeah, it's not. Just, it can be good, yeah, and it can be logical, mm-hmm, and it can be grounded and reasonable, but yeah, that's not science. In science, you're controlling for variables, you're removing bias, you're doing those controls and double blind studies and analyzing data from a large enough sample size and controlling for all these things. And I mean, I could be wrong. I would have to do my own research to find out if it has been done, but I kind of don't think that there's been much scientific investigation of the Enneagram.
Yeah, I would guess not. I think there could be things that maybe borderline it with like people who have like gone deep with it, but I think people who are studying it are studying more to learn about the Enneagram itself.
Yes.
And right, to learn all the ins and outs and the facets and what this looks like for people, as far as like, there's coaches who use it, and that's really cool, mm-hmm, you know, as a tool. But yeah, it is not science, and it's still pretty cool.
I think that is a great example, because it relates to you personally and it's something you're interested in, but you're right. It is, at least nothing that I have seen from it is scientific. But that doesn't mean it can't be helpful for your life. So that's a great example.
Thanks.
I think that's all the time we have for this week's lesson. So why don't you pack up your stuff and get ready for my closing remarks. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at I Slept Through Science, or on Twitter at Slept Science.
If you have dumb science questions like I do, please send them to us. You can email us at islepttheirscience@gmail.com, or you can even send us a voice memo and we'll play it on the podcast.
Please rate and review our podcast to tell other people what you think about it. Subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode, and share about our podcast on social media.
Thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye.
The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you.